very brief hiatus due to new jobs and two surgeries. Salute your squad is back. All right. We're back. We're back, Sarah.
We're back.
I know people were really concerned because despite having about 10 episodes pre-recorded, we disappeared for a week or two. Shall we give them a little sclusy on what has been going on in our lives?
Sure. I mean, I was just on lots of drugs after a major knee surgery.
Oh my gosh, same.
Even editing was just like not possible. But yeah, we've just been kind of, you know, getting new jobs. I started it last week. Chloe, you're starting soon.
We've mentioned multiple times on this show that the whole reason we started this podcast is Sarah and I grew up with the exact same childhood, and we've like lived very similar lives despite being a very white woman and half Mexican woman. But y'all, we truly are twinsies because we got surgery the same week, different surgeries, on different parts of our bodies, and we're starting at the same company. Sarah started, I'm going to be starting pretty soon. So we basically got surgery and started new jobs in tandem. But don't worry, the show is still very much going on, y'all.
We
literally, even if we stopped the pod today, if I perished today, we still have 15 episodes. recorded episodes. And truly, like, we cannot wait to share them with you. We have so many. Oh my gosh, Sarah, no spoilers, but we have so many good episodes that we still have not released.
So many.
Okay, this is an interesting ep, y'all, because we decided to experiment because your girl got surgery on her face and it was very difficult to be on camera or even talk for that matter. We tried a Twitter Spaces. Now, I don't think we like it. The audio is meh, but we still wanted you all to hear it. We cover some really great, funny things, and we're going to be posting on the Instagram some very funny images to accompany some of the topics we talk about. But Sarah, how about you tell the folks what's going to happen next week?
Yes. Well, next week is recharge week for work, which means nobody's working. So I'm super excited because not only will I be editing lots of our episodes, knock on wood, but we are also going to be doing another live episode, this time on Twitch, twitch.tv/saluteyourscorts. And we're going to be talking about some of our favorite Christmas specials, Christmas movies, New Year's special, New Year's movies. I am tasked with watching Christmas special?
Pee-wee's Christmas special, Pee-wee's Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas. I'm so excited for this to be part of your Christmas canon. If this is homework for everyone, if you have not watched Pee-wee's Christmas special, please watch it in preparation for the live show. If not, you're going to be like, why are they talking about Cher and Charo? Like, this is such a weird amalgamation of people who all gathered together. Whoopi Goldberg. Oh my God. The guest list.
I'm so excited.
And
if you are listening to this prior to our live show, and you have any favorite Christmas episodes, holiday episodes, Hanukkah specials, whatever it may be, New Year's specials, tag us on Instagram or Twitter. Let us know. Maybe we'll cover it on the pod.
Chloe, you gotta when you say it. I've been like saying that all through Hanukkah. Yeah. And oh my goodness, y'all, we have so many. I mean, I know we said this a million times in this pre-recorded intro, but like, we have so many good episodes that so excited to bring you in 2022. And we already have guests booked out every week of January and February. Through March. We're having to add more. And we already have, PJ is going to come back and do our Brink episode. So, so many blessings and joys coming at you in 2022. So even if there's a new variant, the Angelica Pickles variant comes for us in 2022, at least you'll have a pod to listen to. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for people to listen to this episode, even if the audio is cray cray, Sarah, because I listened back to it today and I was laughing out loud. Again, make sure that you follow us on Instagram to see some visuals, in particular, some Halloween costumes that we'll be featuring. Ooh, and Sarah, I've been meaning to say this. People should like and subscribe, but like rate and review our pod.
Yes.
Like, you can even just write something like, I love them, or shout out to Greg Smith, or oh my God, I can't believe someone loves Matthew Lawrence as much as I do. We would love to hear your feedback. Nice things only. Don't be rude. No, I'm just kidding. Give us your honest feedback. But review our pod on iTunes.
Wherever you listen to podcasts.
Spotify. Like, write it in your journal and fax
it
to us. We would love to hear from you. And we really do love hearing from you on the socials and yes. joining us in Twitch and the Instagram. And it's just such a joy. Thank you, God, for all this love.
Hello, hello, everyone. This is our first Twitter Spaces for Salute Your Squirts. Chloe is managing the Salute Your Squirts and her account to get this started. So we are getting ramped up. But this is basically our pre-holiday special because we will be doing a holiday special next week. And we figured we'd talk a little bit about our favorite, I don't know, just like in general, our favorite shows. Earlier, we were talking about some of our favorite intro songs to Jim Henson 80s and 90s shows like Eureka's Castle and Fraggle Rock and Pooh's Corner or Pooh Corner. Welcome to Pooh Corner. Dumbo's Circus is another one of my favorites.
Okay, I'm here. I don't know why Twitter Spaces is so moody about Bluetooth headphones. What gives? Hello. Okay, I'm going to start the Spaces how I originally intended to start the Spaces, which was not the echo of my own phone into my other phone. And if anybody listening has ever watched Pee-wee's Christmas, which I'm forcing Sarah to watch pretty soon. It's my favorite holiday special. I'm gonna start it as the Pee-wee's Christmas special starts. Okay. It's the Salute Your Squirts pre-holiday Christmas special with Chloe and Dr. G and the Salute Your Squirts Twitter account. That's it. So Sarah, since you don't know, the way that Pee-wee's Christmas starts out, first of all, I think it's the U.S. Marine Corps choir or something sings the song, and then they do an intro like they do on the Thanksgiving Day parade, where it's like featuring the Fraggles, like Lizzie McGuire, the cast and crew of The Music Man, just like listing off everyone there. And it's my favorite like holiday special trope is just like listing people.
amazing. If you as we go through this is we're recording this one and this will be our next episode for the pod. But if you have any comments, feel free to request speaker access. Just know you'll be recorded and included in the pod. Or you can head over to.
Uh-oh. Sarah cut out. She's in the shed, y'all.
Okay, is it like breaking up? Is it breaking up?
You broke up for a sec, but now you're back.
It's the shed. I swear. We have Starlink. It's just not in my shed yet.
I wish that I was on Bluetooth, y'all. I don't know what let me try different headphones. Every time that I try to join a Twitter space, it's just like Bluetooth, think again, girl.
Right.
I'm like, thanks. Okay, but while I get my Bluetooth set up, I'm gonna mute myself real quick. And Dr. G, how about you start by telling the folks a little bit about yourself and who you are?
Yeah, you know, we realized recently that we kind of just started our podcast. I think we're on episode 10 now and never really introduced ourselves. So we figured we'd take this moment when we are both recovering from some surgeries to introduce ourselves. If you're listening live on Twitter right now, you might know one or both of us. But like I said, this will be recorded and put out there. So yeah, I'm Sarah. I'm in a shed. The reason I'm in a shed is because we live in Washington State and a little outside of the city. And we have a decently small house and but a decent amount of property. So we bought this cheap little shed and I put drywall up, didn't even mud the walls or paint them. But this is my little office space. I'm a mom to three dogs, two cats, and a toddler. I live up here with four generations of my family. I'm a programmer, an educator. I like to write books. I like to, I don't know, I feel like Miranda sings every time I give my like bio because basically my ADHD has had me do 5,001 things, and that's great. I love that. I'm sitting here right now looking at some silicone resin that I want to make some stuff with, and all of these projects that I want to do. But basically, that's me in a nutshell. I am obsessed with my childhood and the shows and movies and experiences that I had then, and I still enjoy them. And now that my child is almost four, it's fun to re-experience them with her, with the lens of a parent. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me,
Okay, I tried
Chloe.
another set of Bluetooth headphones and they're still not working. So Twitter, get your life together. Hello, I'm Chloe Condon. I live in Oakland with my boyfriend, Ty, who doesn't have any memory of any nostalgia from his childhood. In fact, his mother, shout out to Karen Smith, told me that Ty won a trip to McDonald's because he read so many books in elementary school in a limo and he doesn't remember it, but there are photos. And I'm just like, how do you not freaking remember that? But anyway, I also have an obsession with the 90s. I very much grew up in the 90s. I was born in 89, so I consumed quite a bit of content. I was raised by the television. I would have to say, favorite, I was a Nickelodeon girl, but also a Disney Channel original movie girl. And shout out to Zoog Disney, any Zoogs out there. And my previous life was an actress. So I spent a lot of time doing musicals, and I was a child actor and an adult actor. Although I mostly played teenagers and kids because I look very young. And got to play when I was a kid. I couldn't get cast in anything because I looked like an infant, I guess. And then when I was a teenager, I finally got to play kids. And then when I was an adult, I finally got to play teenagers. So that was a very interesting identity crisis that I faced. But maybe that's why I've lived so much in this nostalgia. And a fun fact about me is I recently visited my dad and brought back. I have a huge box, y'all, of every single Burger King and McDonald's toy that I ever had in my whole life. And they're sitting currently in our little foyer. And I think I'm gonna, I was telling Sarah, okay, shout out in the chat if you have opinions about this. I am going to go through all of them because I'm crazy and see which ones are worth money on eBay. But the ones that aren't, I think I'm just gonna make like holiday wreaths out of or like craft
I love
things.
it. I think it's brilliant.
And it's like truly the tactile. Okay, so Sarah messaged me earlier and she was like, "Do you remember this live action Dumbo circus?" And I was like, "Hell yes, I do. Not only do I remember it, but it is like awakening something, like a core memory inside of my brain and
Yes.
body." And we recently did a Rockadoodle episode. That's a little teaser for y'all. We recorded an incredible Rockadoodle episode with Nick Quintel. And on it, we were talking about how there were these Rockadoodle toys, and I looked at them and I was like, oh my God, I can feel this toy in my hand. And Sarah, when I tell you, when I pick up some of these McDonald's and Burger King toys, it takes me back to a place. Just the tactileness of these toys.
I seriously need to find a way to come visit you so that I can feel them because I feel like I can feel them right now. Like the Chicken McNugget Halloween ones with
Oh my God,
the
yes.
zombie or like the Frankenstein and the mummy and the vampire. Like, oh my God, those were my
If
favorites.
I find one of those, I'm gonna make a necklace for you out of one, like a friendship
Please.
necklace. I'm gonna cut it in half like a broken heart, and I'm gonna send you half of it. Do you have a favorite? Okay, other than the chicken nugget ones, like give me your like top three fast food toys.
Okay, so top three is definitely the chicken nugget ones.
Okay.
I think like next on the list is probably, I'm kind of, I want to like look up, I'm going to look at images just so I can kind of jog my memory. Okay, the McDonald's changeables, where it was like, you know, like the styrofoam burger case that then transforms into like a creature. Those were amazing. I absolutely was obsessed with those.
Girl, I'm looking at one right now. I'm looking at
Yeah.
it. I
It was
got you.
anything that like transformed, you know? It was the ones that were just like you unexpected. And that's why I liked the nugget ones because you could like take off their costumes. So there was the Looney Tunes cars where you can like put them inside the car and like mix them up. Like literally
Looking at
just
one of those
anything that
right now,
transformed.
too.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Those were probably my favorites. And then I'm sure there was something else that I'm just like not really remembering. I mean, I liked getting the little mini Beanie Babies because I thought that was going to make me rich one day, but you know.
Didn't we all? Didn't we all? Oh my God, I found one of the
What
McNuggets. I found one. It's
about
hollow though, so I'm gonna have to get
you?
creative with figuring out what to do with this. So I think my favorite, and I'm looking at a bunch of them here. You can hear them. This is me. That's some
Oh my
ASMR.
gosh.
I think my favorite. Okay, so remember how they're like inflatable and water toys were like so hot for like a hot minute? So I have a bunch of ones from Hook that I'm really obsessed with.
What? Where did
Yeah.
you get those?
Okay, what does it say on the butt? I think these were McDonald's, maybe Burger King. So Hook slapped, and I loved all the Hook toys. There was also these McDonald's toys, and I have like 12 of them here that were for, I don't know, McDonald's birthday. And it was literally every franchise from like Snoopy, Disney, Muppet Babies, and it was a birthday train, and they all connected together, and you could like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like they all moved. Like I've got one here
Yes,
that's 101 Dalmatians. I've got one here that's Snoopy. I've got one here that's like Bobby's World. And it was all these different, like, I don't know, franchises celebrating some kind of birthday. The Barbies, of course, which I have all of my original McDonald's Barbies. And then I think my fave, okay, hold on. I'm digging through. I'm looking because I don't want to like exclude anyone. I found another
Right.
Barbie. Oh my God, so many Barbies. Ooh, I found a cup. I found a Pocahontas cup, y'all. We used to call these magic tumblers at the Disney store when I worked there that have like it still has a little bit of water in it and the sparkles and the
Oh
glitter.
my God, those are amazing.
Oh, there's one that is escaping me right now that was a fave. It'll come back to me. But ooh, also remember like okay, I have a bunch of these Burger King Kids Club action figures of like remember like IQ and like all these I like they were just like this gang that like lived in the Burger King. Yeah, they're all here. We're all hanging. Yeah, I'm gonna have to post a picture of this later because some of these are bringing me back.
I
Oh,
love
here's a
it.
Chuck E. Cheese toy that I probably paid like three tickets for. The
I
gang's
love
all
it.
here, Sarah.
Do you remember the Halloween Happy Meal buckets
Oh,
that were
yeah.
like glow in the dark? Oh,
I just
iconic.
found a watch, a Power Rangers watch that.
Ooh.
Oh, I should also mention that in order to get into this box, I had to move aside a still in the box Queen Amidala collection, Hidden Ma Majesty Queen Amidala
Amazing.
because this is kind of important earrings that I don't plan on having children, but I plan on leaving to Sarah, I guess, when I perish. Okay, so
Ayla. We will bequeath them to Ayla.
yeah, there was, okay, oh my God, legitimately, my mom was a graphic designer, costume designer, and she used to sell clothes to this like different print designs that she did, like screen prints and stuff, to this one store. And there was this lady who had an in the box Pee Wee Herman doll, and she used to like point to it and be like, "You see right that right there? That's gonna put my son through college." I don't think it did because I have one, and I am not buying a Tesla with it. But I just love that, like in the 90s, there was such a like. A fever for like this will age like a fine wine and it will pay for my child's college education.
At least in the 90s, parents were thinking about paying for their child's education.
Yeah.
They knew this was going to be an issue. Very timely. Very timely.
Oh my god, but actually, okay, but in the same vein of top three, I think we should do a bunch of top threes on this call.
That's
to get
a good idea.
To know each other. So okay, we did. Wait.
Remind okay. me, okay, your top three, because I'm tweeting this on our account. Okay. Okay. Your top three for the toys.
The Barbies?
The Barbies, yes.
The okay, yes. Hold on. I'm gonna Google this. It was like a McDonald's. Can you still hear me? McDonald's yes. birthday. McDonald's. Birthday train toys. Birthday train, 1994. It was the McDonald's 1994 birthday train is what comes up when I search it. And it's just, oh my god, it's literally everything from like Berenstain Bears, E.T., Tiny Toon Adventures. Like, how did they get all these franchises to get involved? I guess it was a special birthday thing.
Oh, and I bet they were franchises that they had already had contracts with, just speaking yeah. from the, like, side of...
Hot Wheels, the Looney Tunes, Barbie, yeah, you're right. Cabbage Patch, dolls. Yep, yep. Okay, so mine would be the birthday train, the Barbies, and Hook.
Yo,
definitely
right.
Hook.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what threw me off, because I was just like, where do these exist?
Yeah, wait, I want to look
Hook up inflatables.
Like, I don't think it was inflatables. I did have an inflatable Pinocchio toy that was like Figaro of the cat, and it was inflatable. But the Hook toys were a lot of like squirt guns and action figures. Let's see, Hook McDonald's toys. I'm googling. Ooh, okay, yeah. So these definitely.
Oh, work. Wait,
there was like a Rufio just... squirt toy, and like
a mermaid.
Girl, it was 91, 92, so we were very little. You have to understand that my earliest memories in childhood, I don't know why. Okay, first of all, y'all, I must have had a premonition as a child that whatever the chicken nuggets were made out of was not good, because I only ate the skin off the nuggets, which at the time my parents were very concerned, but in retrospect, I think I was right. But I would only eat the skin, and I remember my earliest memory would be in this one McDonald's. There were all these Michael Jordan toys, and it was like baseballs, but they were like soft. Like, I don't know why Michael Jordan had a set of toys at McDonald's, and it was just me eating skin off chicken nuggets, just the breading, and just like thinking at the time, wow, this is cool. I'm getting a toy, but I don't care about Michael Jordan. So when the Barbies and stuff came out, that was huge for me. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. I'm so glad I found a nugget for you, Sarah. I'm gonna
so excited. You don't know how excited I am.
For those who don't know, I craft a lot, and I've been making Beanie Baby taxidermy. So I bought these like very small, like 6-inch by 4-inch wood backings for probably like squirrels, like people who mount taxidermy squirrels or something. And I've been cutting apart Beanie Babies and hanging them. So that's a little glimpse into my life. Okay, so we did McDonald's toys. I think based off on our earlier convo, now we need to talk about our top three. I would say, okay, let's first do animated, then we'll do live action theme songs from 90s television. Do you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay, so I would say my top three in no particular order. Gummy Bears, because it freaking slaps. Like, tell me. First of all, that guy is singing. He's like, Gummy Bears. He's like going for it, and I love that for him. Gummy Bears, Goof Troop, just because I love the a cappella vocal arrangement. And every single day of my life, I go, Goof Troop, bidi-bop-bop-bidi-bop. Yeah. And Ty's like, I feel like Ty has said this to me before. He's like, you know, I thought when I dated a girl who did musical theater, who's like a soprano, I would just hear these beautiful melodies all the time. And instead it's just like, wipe your cares away, worries all around all day. It's just like the Fraggle Rock song and the Amsterdam song all the time. Okay, so that's tricky, because I was about to say, okay, so I said Goof Troop, I said Gummy Bears, and I was about to say a different one, but I think I have to say Fraggle Rock, because that song is What was the one that I was saying? Right. Oh, the Winnie the Pooh song was great, but that's not a top three for me. What about you?
Oh gosh. Okay. This one's hard. This one's really hard. Let's see. I really liked Muppet Babies. I was obsessed with Muppet
Okay, yes.
Babies, and I just like I loved that it was like really kind of off tune. I mean, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I
It's like a
sang it off
doo-wop
tune.
song. It's like,
Yeah.
ooh.
Muppet. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm glad you put that in the top three because that definitely is a contender for my top three.
Yeah. Let's see. What are some other ones? I want to pick ones that aren't the ones you picked. Animated shows. This is hard. This is really hard. It might have to be Dumbo Circus.
Yeah,
I
we
just
just
like
listened
it
to that
brings,
today
oh
and that
God, it just brings so
slapped.
much. It brings so much. Okay, so let me add Dumbo Circus.
I mean, The Muppet Show, I guess technically it was 70s, so I'm gonna admit that. Like, The Muppet Show song is
Yeah.
great. I mean, my favorite, you've seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, right? Where he's
Oh
like
wait.
sad. It's
Yes.
a so good, so good.
I just thought of one. The Scary World of or the what is it? The World of the what World of Richard Scarry?
The yes, the
Busy
miraculous
World.
busy
Busy
world.
World.
Oh my God, shout out to former guest Joe Carlson for his freaking bomb tattoo of Richard Scarry in the apple car. Oh my
Yep.
God. Wait, how do we showcase a tweet? I don't even know how to do that. Let's
I
see.
don't know how to showcase one, but I'm
I don't
just
either.
like okay, so the Busy World of Richard Scarry didn't have words, right?
No, it did. It did. It was like in Busy Town,
That's
something,
right. Okay.
something.
Okay. I couldn't
Oh,
remember if that
I
was
got one
just
for you.
what?
Arthur.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day when
Yeah.
you're walking down
Walking
the
down the
street,
street,
everybody
everybody
that you
that you
meet.
meet is a different point of view.
There was a stage manager who used to work for my dad named Irene, and she looked just like Francine
Oh my
from
God, I love
Arthur. And
that.
I showed her the picture because I was a child. And in retrospect, I remember being very disappointed that she wasn't like, yeah, that looks just like me. And now I'm like looking back and I'm like, I told this woman that she looked like a cartoon monkey. Like, no. I have a really bad habit of doing that, Sarah. Like in Hackbrain, I told someone, like, you remind me of this penguin from Cats Don't Dance. And then the next day she was like, you're such a bitch. She told me I look like this fat little penguin.
Chloe, when I was in kindergarten, we had a kid who was slightly overweight, and we were running laps around the like thing, and I literally ran next to him and said, "It's okay, my mom's fat too." And I thought
Oh
that I was
no. Okay, I'm gonna post this on the Instagram later. And if y'all aren't following us on Instagram, follow us on there. It's in the link tree in the if you just click on the Salute Your Scorts account.
Yeah.
There's a really funny meme going around. I watch a lot of 90 Day Fiancé, and there's a guy who looks just like someone from Recess, and people keep doing a side by side of like all these Recess characters with 90 Day Fiancé people. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Wait, did we get all of your songs? Wait, you did
Yes, I did Arthur, Dumbo Circus, and I can't even think. Muppet Babies.
Okay. Now I'm trying to think live action because the first one that comes to mind is Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
But not just
No.
the musical one, the like when this boy meets world.
Boy Meets World.
I also loved, wait, now I'm trying to think of all the live action ones. So what did we have? We had Lizzie
Well,
McGuire.
I was obsessed with Are You Afraid of the Dark
Oh yeah.
because it like there was no words there for sure.
Oh,
But
I'm gonna say All That. Loved All That.
okay. Hang
Because
on,
that
hang on. I'm gonna
was
write these down.
TLC, right?
That was what?
I thought did TLC sing that? I'm trying to remember who sang the All That song. No, I'm
That's
thinking about
no.
Coolio did Keenan and Kel. And then my third one, live action. Oh, I have it. Okay, this is an obscure one. For whatever reason, and tell me, Sarah, if you remember this show. Do you remember the game show, What Would You Do? Hosted by Mark Summers. Okay.
Yes.
So my dream as a child, so like we've talked about this many times on the podcast before, that I thought the only way that I could go to space camp was if I went to Universal Studios, competed in a competition and won. Like there were several layers to this, right? Like not only did I have to convince my very liberal parents to take me to Florida, which they never would do and we're not going to do. I needed to then get chosen from the audience to be in the show.
Which would happen. Obviously, I would have been chosen.
Now, I was smart enough to know I was an only child, so as a family of three, that we were not a big enough family to be on Double Dare. I was like, that would not work for me. However, I was like, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go there. I'm going to get on What Would You Do? But the funny part is I never thought to just ask my parents if I could go to space camp. Like I'm sure they would have like looked into it for me. But I watched this show so many times and I knew. So at the end, for people who've never watched the show, I want to say it was like What Would You Do? Or sorry, it was like Double Dare, except there were no physical challenges. They would just ask you questions like, would you rather eat spaghetti ice cream or like play guitar naked? Like, I don't know, weird stuff like that. But at the end, all of the people who participated were given a token and there were all these lockers all over the stage. And you would put the token into any one of the lockers and a hand would come out and give you like a shirt or like
grab you.
Or pie you or freaking pie you in the face or slime you. And I was like, okay, the round locker every time. And mind you, maybe I just watched the same episode multiple times, but I was like, all I want more than anything is a What Would You Do watch, which clearly was just merch from the Universal store. But I wanted that watch so bad, so much so that when my parents bought me the VHS of Muppet Christmas Carol and the Muppet movie, there was this. So back in the day, y'all, before the internet, there were these little like, paper, if you can believe, paper is this thing we used to write on before the internet. There's this little like thing that was like, you can send away, like these would be in like cereal boxes, stuff like that. And it was like, if you send like a $50 check in the mail to this address, you can get a Muppets watch. And I 100% made my parents do that. I have this like orange Muppet movie watch that I got from the VHS thing. I was just so obsessed with watches, Sarah. Like, I don't know why.
But, I was so excited every summer when I would have a tan line from my watches.
Okay, so like, I didn't tan. That's not relatable content to me, but I love that for you as a former lifeguard.
As a former surf pig. Yeah. No, I feel you on the watches, though. Okay, my top three growing pains.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I'm so glad you said that. Yes. That's, oh my God. Step by step.
True. Okay. But mine were growing pains. Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which was just like creepy moans. And then Sister. And I,
oh my God.
Still like, wait, the Sister.
Sister, the original or the remix? Cause remember they did the remix that was like, they were really sexy and cool.
No, definitely not that one. Mine was just like, Sister.
Okay, because there was a slowed down version later on that was like with Taj Mahri, and it was wild.
Got it.
It was very sexy.
Just that one. Yeah.
Okay, back to watches real quick. I was watching Pen 15, and I literally LOL'd at this one scene where he was like, hey, do you want to see my watch? And she was like, oh my God, yeah, what does it do? And it's like, I don't know, it's got like calculator stuff on it and stuff. But they talked about Baby G watches, and I was like, oh my God, I remember when a popular girl in the sixth grade got a Baby G watch, and I was like, I need this, Mom. Mm-hmm. I need a Baby G watch. And do you remember at Claire's how in the 90s, in addition to all of the NSYNC paraphernalia, like shout out to Chris Kirkpatrick, he was always left over. Like everyone was getting all of the lip glosses of everyone else. And then Chris was just like, okay. And he was always the weird flavor, like coconut or something. So it was really popular to have like angel, princess, baby, like there were just like these words. And me and my three friends, I want to say we were popular in like fourth and fifth grade, and then I became unpopular in sixth grade. But we decided between the three of us, me, Allie Moreno, and Liz Lyles,
I was Angel. So like my color was blue and I got all the angel stuff from Claire's. And then Liz Wild was a prince. She was princess. So she got all the pink princess stuff. And then Ally Moreno was diva, which was purple. And she got all the
Amazing.
diva stuff. And whoever was working on the palette at Claire's at the time, shout out to you because the colors always were associated with those words.
Yes.
Do you
No, I.
remember like a favorite Claire's thing?
So, okay, I on the story of Angel, I do remember that one year I was like 13 or 14, and my sister bought me a CD case. So I had already had this like black CD case for like literally 1,000 CDs, and she bought me a CD case for like 10 CDs, and it said Angel on it with sparkles. And I was in that like I must have been like 12, 13, and I was just like, oh, thanks. And I literally still have this CD case, Chloe, because I felt so guilty after not being more excited because my sister's 6 years younger. I felt so guilty because she like went to Claire's and bought me this CD case for 10 CDs that I really couldn't use because I had more than 10 CDs and I already had like a bigger one. And it said Angel on it, and it had sparkles, and it was so sweet. And I literally kept it my whole life because I just felt so guilty for not being more excited.
Oh my God. I went to Ashland, Oregon once with my parents because I was very cool and my parents went to go see theater there. We went to this store and I got a shirt that said like 99% angel, 1% devil. And then on the back it had little cherub wings. And I thought I was the coolest person. I also bought a shirt that just had the Sweet and Low logo on it and it was pink. And it was just like peak. Like limited to kind of
Yes.
diva era. Oh my God. Just the fashion of that era. It's been, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched Pen 15, what are you doing? Like you have to
Yes.
watch Pen 15 for the fashion alone. I was watching an interview with the two of them. And for folks who don't know, it's like two 30-year-old women playing themselves as 13-year-olds in middle school. And what this interviewer asked them a question that was like, wow, you guys like really just have the body language down and stuff. Like, how do you get into character for the show? And they're like, well, honestly, the fashion was just so bad and unflattering then that it's not difficult to feel uncomfortable in your body wearing it, which is so true.
It's so true. It's so true.
Do you have like an iconic 90s fashion moment? Like, I remember one time I was telling PJ Metz, friend of the pod, this story recently. We had free dress day at my school because we had uniforms. Like, we didn't have like school uniforms, but we had to wear like navy blue, white, or like gold, like the school colors. And but we had free dress day once every month, like at the last Friday of every month. And you could like if you went to like back to school night, you could wear whatever you wanted. And I made my mom take me to Sears. Shout out to Sears, R.I.P. Or maybe it was J.C. Penney. Maybe it was J.C. Penney. And I didn't know anything about fashion, Sarah, like nothing. And I remember walking into the section, like the FUBU section, which clearly not my demographic, not my ethnicity, not my age group, being in third or fourth grade and buying a two-piece FUBU outfit because it zipped at the knee and like, and so you could zip into shorts or capris. And I had a vest, and I showed up, and I thought I was the coolest girl in the school. I probably looked a mess. How about
Oh my
you? Do you have a peak
God.
fashion moment?
I love this for you. So yours was your FUBU
Can you imagine
zip.
a little white, like 11-year-old wearing FUBU? Like, I
I'm
had no
obsessed
idea
with
what
this.
I was doing.
I love this so much. All right. So for me, I have okay, so I have like a 90s one and then I have a 2000s one. So in the 90s, my favorite, my absolute favorite, was I had these like blue, kind of shiny, but not really pants, of course, bell bottoms, because what else were you wearing in the 90s? With this Hawaiian shirt, surfboard, something, something. And I bought it specifically for the award ceremony at the Junior Lifeguards thing that I did every summer. And I did not wear it at all beforehand. And that was just That was it.
Okay, Sarah Tsunami.
Yeah, literally Sarah Tsunami. But in high school, this is so embarrassing and I love it though. So in senior year of high school, I was notorious for not knowing how to dress. Like I did not. So, okay. My senior year of high school, the first day of school, I wore blue, chunky, fuzzy skater shoes, like those like velvet kind, with a light brown khaki corduroy skirt, like mini skirt, and a dark like maroon or like red, dark red like shirt. Okay. I literally I like was so confident. It was like I thought I looked so cool, showed up, was called the American flag. I was literally wearing red and blue.
Oh my God.
So then it's
like in Alley Cat Strike, they're like, he dresses like he lives in the back of a bowling alley.
literally. Also, I was famously on a bowling league as a child. But anyways, so then in that Christmas, we did like, you know, a Secret Santa with my friends. And so my friend got me, and this one friend, she was like the coolest. She always wore the best things, like always matched. She didn't even mix brands. Like if she was wearing Adidas, it was all Adidas. If she was wearing Nike, it was all Nike. Anyway, so she bought me a light blue Nike sweatsuit, like the iconic mid-2000s, you know, like sweatsuits. With the white stripes down the side, like an Adidas one, or maybe Nike, Adidas. It was Adidas. So
like the royal, like a Royal Tannenbaum thing, but blue.
Royal Tannenbaum.
Like the family from the Royal Tannenbaum with the red like jumpsuits, but a blue version.
I believe so. Let me just look. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
I love that for you.
Exactly. A light blue version. Yes. And so she bought me that. And then another friend who wasn't a part of the Secret Santa, she bought me this like really pretty dark red shirt with like this like flower design on it that was like kind of subtle, but really pretty. And so the next day I wore both of them together.
Oh no.
And my friend was like, Sarah, you had like all you had to do was put on a white t-shirt. Like, why? Why?
Oh no.
And I was like, I was trying to be nice and show that I was grateful for everything.
Oh my God. See, I had the luxury of a mother through elementary school and middle school who was a costume designer, so I could literally point to something and be like, make me this, and she would make it for me. And do you remember, this is looking back very problematic, but there was like a time in the 90s where like Asian shirts were like so mean like with the little fabric buttons, and people were wearing like chopsticks in their hair, like
Phoebe from Friends wearing it.
Yes. Oh my God. And I remember this one year, my poor cousin Tess got all my hand-me-downs sent to her. Hopefully she wasn't forced to wear all of them. But my mom made me this, like, I don't know, like, I want to say it was so popular. I think even, like, Lindsay Lohan and Brenda Song wore one of these and get it. And it was, like, this Asian print, like I'm sure the fabric was from when we went to Chinatown or something, and it had these, like, fabric like buttons, and I wore it to a school dance, and I just thought I was so fashionable. Oh my God. Yeah, there were a lot of really bad just fashion faux pas at that time. I remember I thought I was such a rebel because my mom let me buy a shirt from FCUK. Do you remember that?
Yes.
French Connection UK. And I'm like, it doesn't say fuck, it just looks like fuck. Okay.
Yep. I bought one of those in high school. Yeah,
did you ever go to, did you guys have, oh my God, not Wet Seal. There was like an adult version of Claire's called, oh my God, hold on, I'm going to Google this. It was like
adult Claire's.
Yeah, it was like adult Claire's. I'm Googling.
So we have had a couple, icing. By the way, what is it?
Icing.
Oh my God, yes, I do remember that.
It was like preteen Claire's. Oh my God, they still have a website. I'm going on the website. Buy three, get three free. Wow, they're really living their Claire's truth here. Okay, currently on the icing website, the featured item it says, time for the spotlight. And it's just a headband with reindeer antlers and holly on it. And if you scroll down a little bit, there it says birthstones. And then there's like a necklace and it's just a flat metal circle and it says February. And it has a very small stone in it. Wow, this has not changed at all. This is great. Oh, there's one in, it says my nearest one is in Concord, Sun Valley Concord Mall. I got to get to an icing, y'all.
Amazing. This is amazing. We have had Richie give some comments on some of our questions that we've been posting on Twitter that we've been going through. So for his favorite fast food, like toy that he got was the Burger King Star Wars glasses, which
bought some of those from a couple years ago. The Mondo did Star Wars glasses for Alamo Draft House. If you like bought tickets
ahead
of time for it, keep talking. I'm gonna mute myself here and run into the other room to check on the
Okay. And then for the theme songs of live action shows, he picked his top three to be Smells Like Teen Spirit, Clueless, and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh my God, I want to see a spinoff of that. No, but The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which, yeah.
I think there should be a French-Canadian Prince of Bel-Air, personally. Wait, Sarah, I just literally watched this like 2 weeks ago. Have you watched the Fresh Prince reunion special on HBO?
I haven't yet.
It's good. I would recommend. It's very interesting. My favorite part, no spoilies. Well, first of all, he talks to the other mom, which is like very interesting.
I saw that. That's what made me really want to watch it.
But the coolest part, I thought, was Will Smith talks about his audition for Fresh Prince, which was so crazy. He was like at a party and what's his face, who's the guy, oh my God, I'm totally blanking on his name, the guy who produced it, who's like the Motown guy, hold on, who produced Fresh Prince producer, this is gonna drive me crazy, but basically he was at a party and out of nowhere this guy was just like, oh, you should just like audition right now because all the people who would make the TV show are here at this party. And like Will Smith had like never auditioned for anything before and he's like, wow. Yo, I can't do that. And he's like, you either do it, Quincy Jones,
right? Yeah.
And he's like, you either do it now or you don't do it. And like the show wouldn't have happened if he didn't just like totally, you know, nail it at this party, at a freaking party in someone's like foyer, basically. But fun fact, my dad, shout out to Frank Condon, my dad is very well known for this this play that he did that toured around the country called The Chicago Conspiracy Trial, and he had cast this actor named James Avery in the role of one of the bailiffs in his show, and James Avery had to drop out as the bailiff because he booked Fresh Prince. Crazy. That's totally amazing. Crazy. He made the right decision, yeah, in my opinion. Yeah. But there's a very, very lovely tribute to James Avery on the reunion special. It's good. Awesome. It's worth watching.
Okay. All right. I'll have to take a look at that. I'm trying to find some pictures. Oh, my God. I did just find another fashion forward picture of mine where I was wearing a shirt with a Scotty dog on it that was with black and white checkered. And then I had a skort with black and white checkered. And then I had a hat that was black and white checkered. So I was like a Scotty dog queen, apparently.
I was really into smiley faces. I had a smiley face birthday party. Mm. Like I got really smart as a kid and figured out if I themed my birthday parties around the things that I wanted, people would buy me those things.
That's genius.
And so I had a tie-dye party. I had a smiley face party. I also, American Girl magazine used to sell these party packs. I did two of them. One was a Hawaiian theme where basically I don't know how much it was. I was a child, but you buy this box and it has everything you need to make a Hawaiian birthday party. So it was like, here's all this like craft streamers to make like lays and like grass skirts. And here's a VHS to learn how to do the hula. And like, here's a book of games and here's a cake topper and here's a gift for the birthday girl and all this different stuff. And we did that one. And then it went so well. It was such a hit with all of the girls of Phoebe Hearst Elementary School that the next year I did the sleepover version. And my mom set up tents in the backyard. And I will never forget, I was so pissed. This girl, Tracy, there were all these packing peanuts. And I don't know how they got out. We had like it was glow in the dark theme. So there was like glow in the dark everything because I wanted glow in the dark stuff. I got so many inflatable glow in the dark items at this birthday. It was peak 90s. And all of these packing peanuts just like got all over our backyard. So the next morning after my birthday, my mom was vacuuming the lawn to get all these freaking packing peanuts off the lawn. But it was a true hit. It was like glow in the dark was so hot. Hot back then.
Seriously. Maybe that's what we should do next is what were your top three birthday parties?
Ooh, yes. Yes. Hmm. Well, I had a Chuck E. Cheese birthday party and that was the coolest. I think I peaked at that party. Chuck E. Cheese. I had a roller skating party that was very cool. Mm-hmm. I would have to say the Hawaiian birthday party. I'll post some pictures of that on the gram. Was a huge hit. Like the VHS, it was like in Hawaii, they tell the story with their hands of how to dance. So like this means ocean. There's just like all these pictures of us in my living room, like hula-ing. All these white girls and a couple Hispanic girls just like doing the hula in Sacramento, California.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
How about you? I know you had a McDonald's B-Day.
Yes. So McDonald's birthday has to be the top. It was just iconic. The McDonald's was across the street from my house. All my friends just kind of showed up. We had McDonald's. It was amazing. I would have to say my roller skating party. I absolutely stand a roller skating party. I want them to come back. I hope that they do. And that was my, I think, eighth grade birthday party. And then my last one would probably be one that wasn't actually a party. But my mom took me to Fuddruckers for the first time.
Oh, I went to one of those in college.
So we went to Fuddruckers and they got me a couple of gifts and they saved this tiny, tiny, tiny present for last. And my mom was just like, biggest presents come in smallest packages. And so I opened it up and it was basically this like sentence that was cut up in all of the words and I had to put them all together and it said, "You and me are going to Universal Studios in the morning." And then in the morning we went to Universal Studios.
California?
Yep. Fun story, like when my mom turned 40, I did the same thing to her and took her to Universal Studios.
This explains so much because I feel like you do this for Ayla all the time. You do little like puzzles for her to figure out. Also, Fuddruckers I feel like is Dave and Buster's light. Like, it's not games, but like kids can go there. I only learned about Fuddruckers. There was one in Daly City, which is like close to the college in San Francisco. And I used to go there with my college high school boyfriend. And I was like, what is this place? There's like burgers and like pictures of people who have eaten the burgers on the wall. Like, I didn't know what to do about it. Like, I was like, how have I never heard of this place before?
Yeah. No, I know. It's amazing. Richie just commented on our top three birthday parties, but maybe you can help me decipher. He said, not WDW's 25. I hate that cake castle.
Walt Disney World cake castle. Because I famously am obsessed with that. Remember they had a pink castle that they replaced the Walt Disney World castle with, and it was like made a birthday cake? I loved that. And Richie famously does not think it's cool. I think it slaps. But I think he had some triggering memories, like he worked for Disney, so maybe there was like some customer support calls or something he had to deal with.
Okay. But that does remind me. I mean, the place that you would want to have a party. Now I'm blanking.
Discovery Zone.
Discovery Zone. I was like D Zone.
I think I had a birthday there. I definitely had a birthday there.
I think I went to a birthday there.
I remember famously, I feel like this may have been a California thing. Maybe you'd heard of it. There's something called Odyssey of the Mind. Have you heard of this?
No.
Okay. It was like this thing that we did after school that was like for creative kids. And it was this competition. Oh my God. It was so weird, Sarah. I bet people are screaming right now who are listening to the podcast. So basically it was this program where you're given a prompt and it was like, you have to put on a skit that involves like these four things. And I think our year it was like something stupid, like nutrition. It was some, I don't know, some gifted and talented BS that like, I don't know how I ended up doing this. Like some girl in my class's mom was like, hey, there's this thing called Odyssey of the Mind. I've selected you and four other people to do it. And it was like me and my three good guy friends. Cause I was a tomboy in like third and fourth grade. And it was me, my friend Vance, my friend Zach, and my friend Emmett, and this girl Tracy. And I will never forget this because I was like a really well-behaved kid. Like we've told the famous, I think we've famously shared on the pod before your story about the fart, how you didn't get in trouble. You can listen back to our other episodes, the stink bomb. Mm-hmm. But I was a goody good kid. I never got in trouble. But we went to Discovery Zone, and the whole point of going to Discovery Zone is, first of all, playing in the play place, playing the super sweet games and redeeming your tickets, and most importantly, eating the freaking pizza, Sarah. Yeah. And we went there, and Tracy's mom, who was, like, not cool, was like, I brought all these vegetables and pita bread and snacks for you, and I was like, fuck this. Like, I was, like, in the fourth grade, and I was like, this is child abuse. I was like, we're at Discovery Zone, because none of our parents were there except for her, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. I remember when, like, my mom was like, how was it? I was like, we didn't even get to eat the pizza. Like, this is like, what is the point of going to Discovery Zone if we don't eat the pizza? Oh, and I remember I was being such a brat, and I was like, no, this is not allowed. Like, you have to order us a pizza. We're at the Discovery Zone. She's like, well, we're not going to do that. And I was like, no.
Amazing.
But also, Discovery Zone, also a commercial that slapped, a good commercial song.
Yes. Did you know that the Discovery Zone, there exists a Discovery Zone in Cincinnati?
Oh.
Yeah.
Something called Wild Things that a girl had a party at once that was very similar to Discovery Zone, but it was themed after the jungle, and there was a game that played. Not Wild
Things, the movie.
No. But I do remember, to give you an idea of the time frame, there was a game there that was like a whack-a-mole game that played Who Let the Dogs Out? And I was like, what is this place? This is like, it was like Chuck E. Cheese and Discovery Zone had a baby.
That's amazing. Yeah, this person, apparently this couple grew up with Leaps and Bounds, the original DZ and the Family Fun Center. And so they just made one.
Okay, tell me why it's taken me 6 years to memorize my boyfriend's phone number, but I can sing this. DZ, the Discovery Zone, the place where I do anything on my own. I can something, or mountain climb. DZ, oh my God, just stuck in my brain forever on repeat.
Amazing.
Ooh, I thought of another question, but then it eluded me. Hold on, it'll come back to me. I remember. First concert. Do you have a first concert to share? Because I certainly do.
Oh, yes. Okay, so my first concert was the Spice Girls. And it was amazing because I did not know who they were when my mom bought the tickets.
Okay, I love that for you.
She got them, and she was so excited, and she, like, ran, and she's like, Sarah, I got us tickets to the Spice Girls concert. And I was like, oh, my God, so cool. Can we get a CD of theirs so I can? And I had to, like, learn their names and, like, who they were. And I like, studied before we went to the concert so that I didn't, you know, get called out and get escorted off the premises, which I thought would happen. And then I had the best time ever.
Okay, so I feel this is a sclusy. I feel that I was deprived of enjoying the Spice Girls because, you know how, like, your parents say something? Sorry, Ty's grinding coffee, so I'm, like, hiding in his bathroom to not get fully arc. If there's an echo, that's why. So, you know how your parents will say something, and then that's just, like, canon to you? So, like, I idolized my mother. Like, my mom and I were BFFs. And I remember when the Spice Girls came out, and to be fair, if I was a mom at this time, this is kind of true, she was like, I don't know. They just seem a little too, like, sexy for, like, kids to enjoy. And so I had this opinion, this very like grown up opinion, where all my friends were having Spice Girls party and liking the Spice Girls. I was never a fan because I was like, that's just too adult for me. Like in the same way that the Backstreet Boys were too old for me. I was just like, yeah, their songs are good, but I'm not like in love with them. Like I'm in love with NSYNC because at least they're like in their teens. The Backstreet Boys were straight up married. And I was like, what is this? I don't get it. Like Mariah Carey too is a little bit too, like I love Mariah Carey now.
Yeah,
I'm listening to her audiobook and it's so good. But like as a child, I was just like, this feels very adult for me and I don't understand. But my first concert, okay, I hope you're sitting down because I listened to 107.9 The End in Sacramento, which was like the pop rock radio station. Mm-hmm. And they would put on Jingle Ball every year, which I think there's like a Jingle Ball New York, but this was Jingle Ball Sacramento. And okay, side note, famously, 107.9 The End was the radio station. I used to listen to the morning show like all through high school. And like they did a game. This is also peak early 2000s called Hold Your Wii for a Wii. You can Google this. And the morning show people got taken off the air because a woman died because it turns out if you drink too much water, you will drown and you will perish. And
I
like
remember this.
Yeah. They had all these people on in the studio and they're like, okay, like time to drink another jug of water. And a mom died. Like she freaking died trying to win a Wii holding her pee. But anyway, a side note on that very lighthearted note. They put on 107.9 The End's Jingle Ball, and I will never forget, my mom got me and my BFF, Rose Brown, tickets to this, and we were dying. We couldn't believe it. We thought we were the coolest people, but this was the lineup. Sugar Ray, Maya, BB Mac, 90 Degrees, Evan and Jaren. It was, like, huge. It was, like, all these different people. The headliner, okay, wait. We were going for O-Town because me and my friend Rose Brown were obsessed with O-Town. We were obsessed with making the band. But the headliner, so like every week, it was like the 12 days of Jingle Ball. They would like announce a new star who would be coming like every week.
Yeah.
And we're like waiting. We're like, oh my God, they announced like O-Town the fourth week. Like what could it be? Who could it be? Is it going to be NSYNC? Like who? And like Sugar Ray was there. Like, oh my God. And it was crazy. And we're like, oh my God, it's going to be like, I think we thought it was going to be Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera, which was like more what Jingle Ball New York would get. Like Jingle Ball New York would get like Aaron Carter and A-Teens. We were getting all of the people who couldn't book New York. The headliner of this show was Baha Men.
Oh.
And they only had one song. So they closed out the concert and it was just 15 straight minutes of Who Let the Dogs Out. It was incredible. It was an incredible night for me.
I love that. I also just love the fact that your mom was like, Spice Girls is a little too spicy. Let's go to this one. Whereas my mom like famously took me and my 6 years younger sister to like this one of those like, you know, lots of people performing ones with like Disturbed and Slipknot. And we were all together.
Thinking about what was on the radio at the time, I just remember getting, you know, like whenever you're watching like a sexy movie with your parents, even as an adult, like it's just awkward. Mm-hmm. I just remember like getting so embarrassed every time It Wasn't Me came on the radio. I'm like, oh my God, like just burying my head. Like, this is so embarrassing.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't that like my parents didn't allow me to listen to Spice Girls. I just remember one time they were like, that's a little adult. And then I just like, because of that, I was just like, I am an adult and I do not, and therefore I do not listen to this. But now I respect them. Now I'm like, oh my God, like there was such a message of like female empowerment. And to be fair, I did dress as, oh my God, actually this is very ironic.
Are we going to do top three Halloween costumes right now? Because are you about
Hell yes. Okay.
Okay.
So I loved Austin Powers, which was way more adult than the Spice Girls. And I made my mom buy me a Ginger Spice Jerry Halliwell, like British flag dress. And I think everyone thought that I was a Spice Girl, but I was Felicity Shagwell from Austin Powers. Which, like, why was I dressed as Felicity Shagwell, but the Spice Girl was too adult for me? I don't know. I don't know.
I love that. I love that. I absolutely love that for you. Okay, so that's one of them, yes?
That's one. I also, okay, I had a I Dream a Genie costume. My mom made all my costumes, and they were all incredible. And she, I watched a lot of Nick at Night, and she made me a pink, like, I Dream a Genie costume. I'm going to say a runner-up would be, I was obsessed when I was Ayla's age, when I was, like, 3 or 4, Aladdin had come out, and I had a Jasmine costume, and not only did it have a flesh-colored midriff, which I thought was, like, look, it's the skin, ooh, but it's fabric. It had little curly toe shoes, which were so cool, and I would wear them around all the time. Okay, but wait, that one doesn't count. So, I Dream a Genie, Felicity Shagwell, probably not my best costume, because my mom made such incredible costumes. I was Rapunzel one year. She made this, like, really long, like, wig for me. This is pre-Disney's Rapunzel, so I was just, like, straight up, like, Rapunzel, Rapunzel. I had all of these incredible costumes that my mom made by hand, but for whatever reason, and I'll post this picture on the Instagram, oh my god, we got this magazine every year, from Lily and Vernon, I think, that had all these, you know, costumes that you could buy. And I was so obsessed with aliens, and I bought this alien costume. It's the stupidest thing. The pictures of me are so funny, because you can't even see my face. I'm just wearing this, alien mask. And I'm doing a peace sign in all the pictures, and I'm just, like, I look insane. Like, I'm wearing, like DC shoes. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, but it's like peak, like, Halloween costumes of that era. How about you, Sarah?
Okay. So I'd have to say probably my top one would be when my mom made me a Dracula costume. She went all freaking out. I had, like, a cape. I had this whole suit on. I had, like, an amulet. It was mostly from the film, why am I blanking on the monster? The one
about Interview, like, with the Vampire?
No. The one about the teens where they, like, discover real monsters. And
Mom got, like, a date with the vampire? No, so weird.
No. Oh, God. Why? This is making me really angry, because it's one of the best monster gang. What is it called?
Teen Monster Gang Squad.
Monster Squad. Thank you.
Monster Squad. Yeah.
Monster Squad. Okay. It's a 1987 film. But the Dracula from Monster Squad, that's basically what it was based off of. And, you know, if you haven't listened to the pod before, I famously have watched horror films since infancy, basically. So Dracula costume a la Monster Squad. Another one, kind of in the same vein, so this might be more of, like, a runner-up, is my Peter Pan costume. Oh, yeah. Specifically from the live-action Peter Pan with what's her name who played Peter?
Oh, Kathy Ridley.
Yeah.
Or Mary Martin. Which version?
I think it was the Mary Martin one. Yes.
Mary Martin one's the best one.
Yes. Costume a la Mary Martin. And then that was my favorite version.
That's my dream role, other than Elle Woods and Legally Blonde the musical. I want to play, if anyone's listening out there, casting director, I want to play Peter Pan in the Mary Martin version so bad. Truly, yes. It's like my dream role. And I want to fly. It's
a beautiful role. Oh my God. I knew that whole film. Like, I would literally recite it. I'd watch it on repeat. It was my absolute favorite film of all time.
Also, Tyrell Richard as Captain Hook is a gay icon. I just love him. Just like, ugh, amazing.
Okay. So
we should do that on the show. It's not 90s, but we
definitely should. So Dracula, all of Monster Squad, Peter Pan, all of Mary Martin. One that I did not even understand when I was in middle school, but my parents thought it would be hilarious, was I was going to go as a baked potato. Okay, so I got, but wait. So I got like pillow stuffing, and then we just wrapped me with foil, and then they just like put some like things that you would put on baked potatoes, like taped it to me. But then last minute, my mom had the brilliant idea, if this gives you any insight, to put a sign on my back that said half baked.
Oh my God. That's such like Harriet the Spy energy.
Oh my God. And I would like, I didn't know what baked meant. So yeah. I just thought it was funny that I was a half baked potato. And I thought she meant just like, oh yeah, you're just crazy. Like you're not even fully there. But I didn't really realize, you know, the other connotation.
Your parents would like my parents because when we moved into my childhood home in Sacramento, they were doing the roof and they were worried about me getting a shingle falling on my head. So they put a pot on my head and called me a pothead.
I love it. And then the last one that I just want to tell a quick story about was one year when I actually, this was the first year, it was eighth grade, my first year that I ever purchased a Halloween costume versus making it. And I was Tinkerbell, and I had this tiny little purse of sparkles that were fairy dust. And I was notorious for just like taking things a little too far. So in my middle school, we still did the, like, because it was like a K-8, so it was like elementary and middle school, so we still did the like march around in a circle to show everyone your Halloween costumes. I don't know if anyone else's schools did that, but so we were doing that, and I was throwing sparkles at people. And then when I got to one of my friends, I like grabbed a huge handful and I threw it directly in her face, and she 100% got just like a ton of sparkles in her eyes. And I like
Micah in the eye. Honestly, Sarah, glitter was banned from Phoebe Hearst Elementary School because we all started wearing it on our eyes, and then our principal had to like talk to us and be like, it has mica in it and it can get in your eyes, and we would be like, mica in the eye. Wow, the dangers of sparkles of that era. You know, we call that theater and craft herpes in theater world, because if you ever do a show like Rocky Horror Picture Show or Peter Pan or whatever, like you will, for years later, the glitter will still be on the stage, like everywhere.
Oh my God.
That's so crazy. Oh my God. I hope that Ali Moreno, my childhood BFF, listens to this pod, because she probably doesn't remember this, but this is like a core memory for me that reminded me of that. In the fifth grade, in Miss Jones' fifth grade classroom, we were learning about history, and we all had our textbooks open to this page learning about Susan B. Anthony. And there was like this picture on the page of like all these suffragette women like being like, yay, we won the power to vote. And my friend Allie used to get these, remember those little like half water bottles that were like for kids?
Yes.
They like were enough for like five gulps.
Yeah.
She would always have one of those, and she was like, oh my God, like she's like recreating it, and she was like, we won, and she lifted up her water bottle and it went all over our friend Andrew Shannon. Like he got soaking wet, and he was like, oh my God, Allie. She was like, I'm so sorry. Every time I think of suffragettes, I think of Ali Moreno splashing Andrew Shannon with a half water bottle.
amazing.
Close out our top list, and we'll close out the space, a huge topic of the pod has been hotties, 90s hotties, and I think we need to break down our three 90s hotties, and mine will be no surprise to you, Sarah.
Oh, this is going to be so hard for me. Okay.
No, I think that mine's going to help you. I'm going to start because I think mine will help guide yours.
Okay.
Number one, JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, because he was Simba and young Simba was hot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he was in all the Tiger Beat magazines. I didn't watch a lot of Home Improvement, but I watched it for him.
He was also Pinocchio, and he was hot there. I don't care what anyone else.
I think that's when I started to taper off. The Pinocchio, I was like, maybe not.
I did taper off, but like it was still good.
But then he also did like I'll Be Home for Christmas, like when he was older, and like he was everywhere. Like he, I mean, I'm not gonna say Macaulay Culkin as one of them, but he was like my Macaulay Culkin, you know what I mean? Right. Like of that era. Like he was just such a little hottie. Yeah.
Tom and Huck.
Oh my god. Lord. Yeah. I never saw the one where, spoiler alert, I've never seen it, but like someone gets stung by a bee and they die.
Oh, My Girl.
Yeah, I've never seen My Girl. Was he in My Girl? I feel like he was in My Girl.
No. He wasn't in My Girl. That was hang on.
Other kid.
Yeah, other kid. It was Macaulay Culkin. I was was Macaulay Culkin, but then I was like, let me make sure that this is really Macaulay Culkin.
My next one is a little obscure, but not for some people. Eric Von Detten, aka from Brink and from So Weird. I was so in love with him. He was like my first crush. But Sarah, this is gonna help you. This third one's gonna help you a lot. Third crush, Rockadoodle.
I know. I knew you were gonna say Rockadoodle.
My boo, Rockadoodle. All I wanted to do, Sarah, was I wanted to be on a swing in the sky, drinking that juice. What did it say on the glass? It said like, they had to change it in post. I forget what it said, but I was like, if I could cuddle on the chest of this animated chicken. I was like, that is the sexiest thing I could think of. Yep. Rockadoodle is bae. I'm gonna make a shirt. I'm gonna make merch.
Okay, so for me, this is gonna be hard because if you haven't been listening to the pod, I have recently realized how not straight I am, that I'm definitely like bi or whatever. I don't even know what term to use. So it's really, really, really hard to decide here.
Were you a Rufio babe?
Oh, God, Rufio. Okay, I feel like I need... Okay. So, oh, God, there's too many. Okay, this one is, like, not fair because it's so obvious. But, like, I've loved him since Growing Pains is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yes. I thought you were going to say Chris Cameron. I was like, I have some news. No. I thought you were going to say Alan Thicke.
But actually, no, I'm just kidding. So there's Leo. Another one. Oh, God, this is so hard, Chloe. Okay, so this might explain things, though, because it was, like, Leonardo DiCaprio and then, like, really young, early, why is my brain not functioning?
Aren't they from Boy Meets World?
No. Well, yes. I mean, he
counts universally. He counts universally as a hobby. He's on the top no matter what.
No, but I was going to say Johnny Depp. Like, canonically, my whole life has been, like, plastered with Johnny Depp posters, and anytime I could get a picture of him, Edward Scissorhands, oh my God, like, just everything Johnny Depp. But I feel like both Johnny Depp and Leonardo DiCaprio were, like, slightly effeminate in like, their early years, and so I feel like that really speaks to me, because that's, like, I don't know. So anyways, there's that. I mean, fucking Goldie. Like, if you haven't seen Rockadoodle, Goldie is just, and I mean, I feel like I have to do, like, a Goldie / Lola Bunny /, like, what's Roger Rabbit's wife's name again?
Oh, Jessica Rabbit. Yeah,
Jessica Rabbit. / Jessica Rabbit. Apparently rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah, animals. Rabbits and really. Rabbits. crazy. I also feel, okay. I just watched the Billie Eilish documentary a couple days ago on Apple TV, and there's this scene where she's at Coachella, and she's, like, hugging Katy Perry, and she's like, oh my God, like, it's so, she's like, you're gonna do great, blah, 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 and then there's, like, this guy, it's Orlando Bloom, but Billie Eilish doesn't know it's Orlando Bloom, she's like, oh, I thought it was just some white random dude that, like, Katy Perry was hanging out with, and she's like, bring him back, and then later, like, 5 minutes later in the documentary, he comes back, and he's, like, going to the bathroom, and he's like, oh my God, let me give you a hug. Oh, first of all, they cut to the trailer with, like, Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas, and he's like, yeah, that was Johnny Depp. And he's like, yeah, see this picture? He's like fully nude on a paddleboard with like Katy Perry. And she's like, that's who that was? Oh my God, I had no idea it was the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean. And then 5 minutes later in the documentary, he comes back and he's like, here's a hug. Cause they're like having technical difficulties at Coachella with her like LED screens. And he's like, this is the whole world hugging you. This is the whole world. And like Billie Eilish is like looking at the camera and she's like, now I know. It's the funniest thing. She's just like, I thought that was just some random white British guy. I didn't know it was Johnny, or not Johnny Depp, Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. That's
amazing. Oh my God.
That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait, you want? I'll give you an alternate. We can do our alternate draft hotties. I would say Sean, yes. From Boy Meets World. Oh my God! Wait, I would like to remove. I would like to make an edit. Okay, who do I remove? Okay, I said JTT, Rockadoodle. Okay, I can't. I was so in love with Matthew Lawrence. I truly. Everything from Brotherly Love, Boy Meets World, and especially The Hot Chick, like something, it ignited a fire in me. I was like, I am in love with this man. I recently listened to our sister podcast, The Hold Up, and they did a Boy Meets World episode, and they pointed out how problematic it was that how much they lusted after, not Angela, but that, remember that redheaded white girl on Boy Meets World? That they were just like, you're hot and we want to fuck you. And like, that was the plot line for her. I wanted to be that girl so bad. I was like, I am in love with Matthew Lawrence. But I love Matthew Lawrence so much. Oh my God. So many white boys.
It's so hard. There are just so many from the 90s. Like,
well, and I loved Aaron Carter, but flash to now.
I did not. I never liked Aaron Carter. I never understood the appeal.
I mean, the appeal was that he rapped about Shaq. I mean, come on. You beat Shaq. And he had a party. He had a party. Aaron's party, come and get it. And guess what? He woke up with a jersey with the name O'Neal on it. Like, come on.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, this has been so much fun. If you are listening to this, you can look out for another special holiday episode where we are going to watch. I'm going to force Sarah to watch Pee-wee's Christmas special.
Yeah.
My hope here is that Ayla will watch it in the peripheral and become obsessed with it as well, because it was a huge part. There's a whole plot line in this of like Pee-wee keeps getting gifted fruit cakes and he's very ungrateful for it. And then he builds a room out of fruit cake. This is going to be amazing
because Ayla had her advent calendar this year and Santa accidentally gave her like 10 days in a row of socks, and she was pissed that she finally came up to me like 2 days ago and she was like, I'm just gonna open the rest of my advent calendar gifts because I can just wait until Christmas for the other presents. So
oh my God.
Do it now.
It's like truly a tale of like there's so many. Charo is in it, Cher is in it. So many like 90s, 80s celebrities. It's just like Annette Funicello is in it. Oh my God, so many people. But yeah, he gets gifted a lot of fruitcakes and he's very upset about it. And it's, I think, canonically the best Christmas special. We're probably going to watch, we're a little late with the Hanukkah, the Rugrats Hanukkah specials. And maybe the Hey Arnold one, I think we were thinking about as well.
Yeah, and we might do some polls if you all want to contribute North some Pole. Of your favorites. North Pole.
We're doing some North Pole. And yeah, I'm just so excited. And thank you to everyone for being so patient during this, as Sarah mentioned earlier in
this
episode.
We didn't even really say, but yeah, we definitely have had surgery. I'm like not able to walk still or put any pressure on my right leg. just finished taking all my painkillers, so... You know, we're getting.
And I literally messaged Sarah 20 minutes before this and was like, I don't know if I can do this, girl. I'm not feeling well. But she rallied and she's here and she's thriving. Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably record an intro to this. But if you've noticed a hiatus in episodes, we're just between jobs and healing from surgeries. We're twins. We're both.
We are.
Post surgery. We're both starting a new job soon. And we love all of you. And I think the best way to end this, and then I will run into the bathroom and shut down the space from my other phone that's being hidden so we don't hear the echo. I think I'm going to end this the way that I only know how, which is to say, shot to clean! Okay, bye everyone!
Bye!